Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I am Rick Stevens. I am your host, and this is your show. Remember, if you've got questions you would like us to discuss, if you've got a topic you want to hear more about on a future episode of Money Matters, please feel free to give me a call at 719-500-8700. You can also shoot me an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com, or simply go to our website, frsfinancialgroup.com. Go to that contact tab. Click up in that top right-hand corner. Send us your questions. Send us your message. We would love to hear from you. Well, folks, this week on Money Matters, we're talking about some things that, Andrew, might be over your head a little bit.
Maybe, just a tiny bit.
Just a touch. When was the last time you were on your roof?
Well, funny story with that. Thought I would go ahead and put Christmas lights up this year.
Good job, Clark.
Got about a quarter of the way up and said, no, ain't going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. So pulled the ladder up, went back down, and hung a wreath up on the light, and that was about it.
All right. Good man.
So the answer to the question was never.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I try to stay off my roof as often as possible. But we've got folks with us in studio today, a guy who kind of enjoys being on roofs. We've got Chad Melko with us. It is coming up on hail season. Chad is the senior project manager with Roof Ops. He's in the studio today. Chad, welcome to the show.
And thank you very much, Rick.
All right, folks. You know, I've got to give that official disclosure, right, that LPL Financial, FRS Financial do not endorse the guests that appear here on Money Matters, but Chad, that doesn't mean we don't love you. Well, Chad, tell the listeners here a little bit about Roof Ops, because it might not be the quote unquote name brand that most folks in up and down the Front Range are familiar with. But tell folks a little bit about what you guys do, which part of the state you're licensed to work in, because that matters, right? And just some of those basics when it comes to Roof Ops.
Well, we are a Colorado native-owned business. It is a woman-owned business, family-operated business. Work is completed by dedicated journeymen, which is very important. It's led by crews of installers, and we are rated A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. The purpose of our business is this year we are adding a 1% give-back component of all sales that we complete, so we can have the money to do a roof for a military veteran for free.
Awesome. I love it. So we're just going to kind of jump in here into the roof world. And I know that there's a technical answer to some of these things, but then there's also the real answer. And I'm going to ask here a little bit about when it comes to roofing products, because I grew up in the Midwest. Believe it or not, the weather back in the Midwest, and I know as a guy from Iowa, you understand the Midwest, a little different on what it does to our houses than here along the Front Range. But when it comes to roofing products, how long is my roof actually going to last?
Well, that is a hard question because there's so many variables out there. First of all, it's location. Within the city, state, as well as location in regard to tall trees. We have colder climate, snow setting on the roof for months, exposure to constant high winds, etc. The material, the products that we chose, they're not all created equal. So there's a lot of products out there that are cheap, and there's not really any guarantee of how long they're going to last, okay? The installation has got to be proper. The underlayment that goes under the shingle to protect your wood on your roof, that's important, of what product is being used on that. And then also the metal edging, the drip edge, and the vents. Proper ventilation is really critical, because if you don't have proper ventilation in the hotter season and stuff, we can get what they call heat blisters, and it basically just bubbles up the shingle and pops, just like a blowing a bubble with bubble gum. So that's really important. And the maintenance on it, you know, we give free regular inspections to check for storm damage, leaks, vent problems. But most roofs in Colorado average about 10 years on a shingle. If you get more than that, that's great. If you get less than that, I wouldn't be surprised about it. Just getting back to real quick where we're licensed at, El Paso County, Teller County, Cripple Creek, Victor, Canyon City, Douglas County, Elbert County, Castle Rock, Parker, Jefferson County, Wellington, and also we are licensed in the state of Iowa.
Awesome.
Awesome. And, you know, when it comes to those different types of roofing materials, obviously we know the hailstorms here typically what really gets a lot of our attention up as far as the significant damage. But you also hear a lot of things about impact-resistant shingles, different types of warranties. Is that really true, or is that just kind of marketing in that, you know, Mother Nature's going to do what Mother Nature's going to do to the top of your house, no matter what you slap up there?
And that's a very good question. You know, the biggest thing is Class 3 and Class 4 are the top options, and I'll get into that a little bit. At Roof Ops, we believe there is a best option to protect from wind and hail, and the specific products do not guarantee no damage, but are backed by rigorous testing in a superior performing shingle. Even withstanding Hurricane Ian winds that were down in Florida, the product that we're using, we found out that they had five roofs down there with this product on it, and the area sustained 150-mile-an-hour winds, and they were the only five roofs that did not have damage. All the rest of them were tarped.
So 150-mile-an-hour winds, just kind of like being out in Peyton, right?
Yeah.
Or Black Forest.
Awesome. You know, I will talk about the inevitable, because we are coming into hail season, right? And we get that hailstorm, and a lot of us hear about those different companies that will just kind of show up one day and start scheduling all their jobs, and quite frankly, they're probably not from around here, right? They have that name, the Storm Chasers, right, in a lot of circles. What are some things that homeowners along the Front Range kind of need to watch out for when there's been a hailstorm?
And that's right, Rick. The thing is, people will come in from out of state and rent a building in Colorado, so they have a Colorado address. They sometimes will even rent vehicles, so you can't tell they're from out of state. I got six top things that I always tell my customers. Don't give any insurance checks to someone up front. We always have a rule of thumb where once we deliver the material on your roof is when we collect the first check. Also, ask to see the contractor's general liability and workers' comp. Workers' comp is huge. Somebody can tell me that they have general liability, but the roofers that are on the roof have to have workman's comp, because if someone falls off that roof, God forbid, they can actually come back on the homeowner if they do not carry workman's comp on their roofers.
Wow.
That's a big deal. Number three, I would say ask the contractor for their license number to see if they're licensed in this county or municipality that we live in. Fourth, ask for the product information. What are they exactly installing? Is it a cheap product or is it a top-of-the-line product? And what class is it? And have them prove to you that it is that class. And it should say right on the bag once they deliver what class of shingle that is. Make sure you get everything in writing, document all the financial transactions, build dates, warranties, and ask for a copy of the permit from the building department to make sure they pulled the permit. If they didn't and you get a new roof, you go to sell your house, the permit wasn't pulled, no one knows that that roof is still not 20 years old.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I know that's one of those, definitely one of those things, especially in that real estate side of life that is always, well, I won't say always, but can oftentimes be that little surprise of, oh, this work was done because we had no idea this work was done.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that kind of homeowner perspective, a lot of people aren't exactly that intimately, you know, detail-oriented as far as what their roof is. Maybe they know if it's just asphalt, shingle, maybe tile, obviously those cosmetic things. But what are some things that homeowners really should be knowing, making sure that they have ready and available when it comes to that large asset on their home?
Well, first of all, they need to call a respectable roofer out and take a look at their roof. We can determine what type of shingle it is, what manufacturer it is, how many layers are on the roof and everything like that. So that's something that you need is a roofer that knows the product, knows the industry, and I do have 14 years experience doing that.
Awesome. Now, one of those things, if I remember right, because it's been a while since I've actually had to deal with anything roof related, but there's actually a limit on the number of layers you're actually allowed to have on the roof these days, right?
Yes, that changed here about 10 years ago. In the state of Colorado, before, you could have up to 3 layers of shingles on your roof, which, number one, puts a lot of weight on that roof. But now they've changed the law to where everything has to be torn off all the way down to the decking or the plywood, and then redone from there on up. So you can only have 1 layer, period.
Well, as the kid who was on a lot of roofs for his dad back in the 80s and the guy that had to, well, I guess I'll say operate the shovel for removing all of the shingles, had to go back with the hammer and make sure all the nails were pulled. I can see that's a little bit more work than would normally be initially, I guess, thought of. Well, most times I would think we probably don't think of the tear-off as a major part, but that's got to be one of the biggest, probably most time-consuming parts, right?
It actually is, and, you know, our roofers are really hard workers, but, yeah, we can run into all kinds of things where it's still 2-3 layers because they hadn't had their roof done. But, yes, that is the biggest part of the whole roofing project is the tear-off.
So I want to talk a little bit here as we get to this first break about some of those different options that are out there, right? When I was a kid and I was working with my dad and we're doing roofs, we had 3 options. You could use the cedar shake, you had your asphalt, 3-tab shingles, or you had a metal roof. And that was it back in the day. Now again, about 40 years ago, it's been a little while, but how have those options really changed even over the last 10 years?
Well, here in Colorado, one big change is that you cannot no longer put on a shake roof. It's a fire hazard.
Mm-hmm.
So they have eliminated putting on any kind of cedar shake on the house. Now, we do have a product that actually is really, I would say, really unique. And it looks like a wood shake, but it's actually a polymer plastic.
Wow.
It's fireproof. It's rated A fireproof. It is also hailproof. But as far as metal goes, I go over everything with the homeowner because there is cosmetic clauses now written in these insurance policies that you can put on a metal roof. Is it indestructible? No. If you get hail dents in it and it don't break a seam, then you have to look at that hail damage because of the cosmetic clauses written into the policies that the insurance will not pay to replace the roof, because it's only cosmetic damage. Now, once you have the metal roof on, just remember anything metal on the house, whether it's gutters or anything else, are also not covered now because
Wow.
you have that metal roof on.
Wow. Some big information right there, Chad. Well, folks, we are up against that first break in today's show. When we come back, we will continue talking about your roof, my roof, and probably Andrew's roof. With Chad Melko of Roof Ops. Stick around. We will be right back.
Are you worried about what's been going on in the markets and how it has affected your portfolio? Maybe you need a financial checkup. If you have questions about the health of your financial future, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary checkup. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. Andrew Rogers here, along with Rick Stevens, talking with Chad Milko of Roof Ops. Chad, we talked a lot about the roofing in general during that first segment, and we know we're coming up on the traditional hail season here across the Front Range. So I guess my first question is, when should we have a professional out to check the roof? Is that something we should do maybe every year before hail season gets started, kind of get that baseline? And definitely, what's that process look like?
Once a year for sure, where we live. Twice a year is better, usually spring and fall, after winter snows and before the summer storms.
Yeah, and with that, you know, a lot of us aren't exactly, you know, the roofing experts, obviously. Probably a lot of us didn't really grow up having to shovel off a roof, things like that, and maybe be a little gun-shy as far as getting up there. So are there any things to maybe be alert to from the ground level that would kind of be that indicator that, hey, it's probably time to get out, get an inspection going, and make sure that you have someone come out and look at that roof?
You know, that's a good question. You can't really see anything from the ground when it comes to a roof. So just to put your mind at ease, call us here at Roof Ops. We'll come out. We'll give the free inspection to you and let you know if your roof is okay or if it needs replaced.
Awesome. You know, in looking at those roofs, because I know you've been on all sorts of them over the years here, there've got to be some things where you have gotten up on top and went, oh, the homeowner's been up here. What are some of those mistakes that you have seen that homeowners have made? And I think we've got about 45 minutes left in the show, so we'll just let you take it from here.
Well, first of all, the installations that I've seen out there, if it is something with the homeowner, they're not up to code. Permit wasn't pulled because the city would have come out, looked at it, and said, hey, this isn't up to code. So I run into that a lot. And they're not done by knowledgeable installers. You can tell by the lines if they chalked them off or if they're wavy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Also, this leads to a lot bigger problems. You got water in the attic, which creates black mold. And then you go from black mold to drywall damage, rotten plywood that's underneath, not enough ventilation as we spoke about mm-hmm. earlier. And that's some of the things that we see that we can tell right away if a professional installed it or did not install it.
Yeah, and I can share a story here about a previous home that I owned that, yes, I got up on the roof, I took a look, and I went, oh no. Because the ridge cap, all right, so they were asphalt tab shingles. The ridge cap was more or less straight, but every last nail was exposed because they nailed in the tab portion and not the underneath portion of that ridge line.
I've seen a lot of that, too, where you see nails all across the ridge, and if it's installed properly, they ridges overlap, so there should only be four nails on one end and four nails on the other, mm-hmm. and you should see no exposed nails in between.
Yeah, it looked like they'd used probably three or four tubes of silicone caulking on all the nail heads up there. So I'm going to guess it was somebody who was doing the job very low cost.
That is correct. Yep, that sounds like a homeowner or a professional that was supposed to be professional that came out that didn't do a very good job.
one of those things that kind of then brings to mind is, I know that once the roof is redone and we look, there had been a permit pulled, it's technically supposed to be inspected, right? That would that not be something the inspector would catch?
It all depends. The inspection world is a little different. I've had a lot of inspectors that get on the roof and do their job, and then I've seen inspectors drive by and say, looks new to me. So that's one thing that we really prefer, is having something where the inspector actually gets on the roof, looks it over, and takes care of it that way. We don't like the drive-bys.
Yeah, and you know, talking about those things on the roof as well, we know there's some things you just can't avoid having to work around that, again, why you get a professional involved, because they know how to deal with it, how to seal it up, you know, the vents, exhaust pipes, chimney caps, things like that. And I don't know if these are really as popular now, probably thankful to you and the rest of your roofing industry, but let's talk a little bit about skylights as well, because we know that those can really be a major issue and kind of a, you know, fail point on a lot of roofs.
Yeah, and I always say the more penetrations on the roof, the more you got to watch out, because you need to get things sealed up. But as far as skylights go, when we do a re-roof, we number one, look at the glass on or the plastic bubble on the skylight to make sure that's sealed. Then once we take the roof off, we examine what they call the curb that the skylight sits on, which is usually consists of 2x4s. To make sure that's intact, we tear off the flashing. We reflash the whole thing, and then we like to do an extra layer, and we do an ice and water shield around that, and then seal it with the silicone so it's definitely sealed up. Same way with pipe jacks and roof vents and everything. They just need to be secure.
Awesome. Now, that kind of leads me a little bit to a bit of a follow-up here. Knowing that, you know, we've come through fall and winter, we've had our normal, you know, crazy wind. When it comes to things like our gutters, how important is it to keep those things clear so that once it stops snowing on us, Andrew, and actually mm-hmm. starts to rain on us again, that rain's not backing up and actually causing water damage on our roof?
Well, there's two components to that. Yes, keep them clear, because gutters, if they run backwards, can go behind the gutter, and then all of a sudden you have fascia that's starting to rot.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, in the wintertime, that's why we like to put what they call ice and water shield on the eaves, which goes on the roof. That way when water freezes and it dams up, it can sneak under the shingle and melt. And that's what rots plywood. So we like to put the ice and water shield, even though it's not a code under 7,000 feet in Colorado, we still like to put ice and water on just to be secure.
So under 7,000 feet, basically about half of El Paso County then, because the north half, you got to put it on.
Correct.
Awesome. Now, I know that you and I have talked about tile roofs because, well, I have one. Can you talk a little bit about, I guess, maybe why a tile roof is the bane of existence for roofers, and some of those different things that if you have a leak, you have a busted tile, that are a little different with the tile roof that a homeowner may not be fully aware of?
Yeah, on a tile roof, definitely call a professional to come out and look at it. Number one, for a homeowner to walk on a tile roof is bad, because you have to know how to walk on it. And if you don't, you'll break it. You'll make more damage than what's already there, especially on an old tile roof. But what we have seen is the manufacturer, there are grooves in the tile to where they slide together.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens when you have damage, and let's say you have a 20-year-old tile roof or a 15-year-old tile roof, they have changed the grooves, so you just can't go out and get 10 tiles to replace 10 broken ones, because now they won't slide in there. The grooves have changed, and therefore now you need a whole new roof.
And that whole new tile roof is not inexpensive.
It is very expensive.
And one of those other things I know we've talked about is, you know, even though I have probably a dozen tiles and a dozen of the I guess the ridge caps that would go on there, that doesn't necessarily mean, even though I have them, they'll match, because there's been a little sunshine on that roof.
That's correct. They do fade out. So, yeah, you will look like a calico there for a while if you can replace them until they sun fade as well. And then also, you know, on these tile roofs, not all insurance companies are given discounts now on tile roofs. Whereas homeowners think, oh, if I have a tile roof, it's definitely a class 4. I'll get a discount. Not true.
And, you know, Chad, obviously you're not the insurance expert, but working a lot in roofing and with the insurance companies with its major, you know, claim, what other things do maybe homeowners need to be aware of when it comes to dealing with your roof and insurance claim and kind of how that whole dance comes together?
That's awesome, because that's what we do as professionals. That's what kind of sets us apart. We don't look at a roof being another dollar. We actually take the homeowner from start to finish. So when we meet, we meet the adjuster out there, number one, to walk everything, make sure they don't miss any damage, because it's one claim, one deductible. Second of all, when we get the, what they call the adjuster report back, we come back to the homeowner, sit down, because it's foreign to the homeowners trying to read that. So we go over it step by step and let them know exactly what we're going to be doing, what the insurance is paying, and every component that's involved in that. So we actually walk them through the whole process from start to finish.
Yeah, and that's something a lot of homeowners probably need to look at their policies as well, too, because there's been a lot of changes, especially with Colorado being one of those high catastrophe states as of, you know, the past couple of years, that the deductible language may have changed as well, going from a set amount to a percentage, and does it include or not include the roof in those different formulas and things like that.
Yeah, it's always good to call your agent, especially before any storms, to make sure, number one, that you have what they call a replacement cost value policy. That means that the insurance will pay everything but your deductible. If your roof is older, just make sure your policy hasn't switched over to what they call an ACV, or actual cash value, because then the depreciation that's there is not paid back. So then the homeowner has their deductible, and now they have to pay for their depreciation. And that's a good point about deductibles. A lot of insurance companies now are going to 1, 2, and I've seen even up to 3% of your home value. So if you have, you know, if you have a $500,000 home and you have a 3% deductible, you are a 3% deductible. Yeah, you're going to pay $15,000 out of your pocket for your deductible. So they can always look at it and change you over to a different company with the same amount of coverage with a lower deductible.
And one last question here as we wrap up this this segment. When we talk to some folks, and I know that I have had folks who have told me this over the years, and I happen to know that it's actually not okay, but they've talked about being able to quote-unquote rebate portions so that you don't have to pay your deductible, but that's not exactly legal in the state of Colorado, is it?
No, actually, Hickenlooper, back in 2012, passed a law. It's called the SB 38. It says no contractor is able to rebate, advertise for any kind of deductible. So if a roofer or even the homeowner gets caught doing that, we can get fined, lose our license, and even the homeowner can get fined.
Wow. So definitely some things that we want to, not run afoul of with the law ourselves, but also B, understand that there are folks, typically I would assume from out of state, that are the storm chasers that don't exactly know the rules, that might show up and offer that because, hey, some other state where they're technically from actually allows that to happen.
And that's correct. We see that not only in the roofing, but we also see it in the hail dent repair on vehicles where they can not collect deductibles because in their state they don't, but they're still coming into our state. They have to be licensed here. So if they're licensed here and waiving deductibles, they're still going against the SB 38 law.
Awesome. Well, folks, we are up against that next break in the show. When we come back, even more from Chad Melko with Roof Ops. Stick around. We will be right back.
Money affects each of us in different ways. Sometimes it's a source of stress and fear. Sometimes it's a source of comfort and security. Whatever your perspective, it's always good to get a second set of eyes on your finances to help serve as a guide. If you are looking for that guidance, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC.
Well, folks, thanks for sticking around with us through that break. Rick Stevens here on Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. In studio, as always, with Andrew Rogers. Chad Melko of Roof Ops is our guest today. And Chad, believe it or not, I read some things every once in a while. And, you know, because you could just go into the Google machine, type in something about, help with my roof or things I should know about my roof. And probably one out of every three or four different articles that comes back is trying to tell me about a roof tune-up. Now, I understand what a tune-up is on the engine of my vehicle, my truck that's in Montana, by the way.
You mean your son's truck?
Maybe. So I know what a tune-up is there. I know what a tune-up game is for my team, right? That's a preseason game. We're getting ready. We're trying to get some game-like conditions going on before we actually start the season. But what in the world is a roof tune-up, and do I actually need one?
Yeah, you actually do. It's no different than going to a dentist and having your teeth checked every 6 months to a year.
Well, got that? It's a mouth tune-up.
Okay.
I'm going to tell my dentist that next time.
But a roof tune-up basically is to address any issues and being proactive without going into a roof replacement. So that's why it's important to call us, have us come out, check out your roof, I would say twice a year in the state of Colorado. That way, if there is any silicone that is worn down or whatever, we can just fix it. We can re-silicone it, and you may get longer life out of your roof versus if you let it go and it starts leaking, now we have damage underneath, we have a problem.
Well, and it goes back to that, you know, insurance conversation as well, and kind of us talking earlier about having that, you know, kind of pre-season checkup, because we know those insurance companies, you have a year to file a claim. So maybe there's something out there you thought you dodged a bullet, didn't see anything from the ground, didn't see, you know, any little asphalt pebbles around. But that periodic check can make sure that if there is some major damage up there, you can get it done under that insurance time frame as well.
Yeah, and that's correct. And that's why I always, always encourage the homeowner. It doesn't cost you anything. Call us, have us come out, take a look at it once or twice a year, just to make sure everything's going good.
Yep, and I know there's a threshold, if you will, in terms of the hail damage on a roof that actually kind of helps move it more toward that this needs replaced versus what needs repaired or tuned up. A number of years ago, I think it's probably been almost 10 at this point, when we had a pretty sizable hailstorm through the middle of town, and where I was at, you know, we had that golf ball size hail all over the yard, but somebody may have gotten up on his roof, not during the storm, but a day or so afterwards, and taken a look, and I only had like a couple of little divots up on the roof. So is there a threshold? How big, I guess, is that threshold of something where it's, okay, you know what, we can just sort of pull out this shingle and put this one in its place versus, okay, we really need to call the insurance folks to get the claim started, to get the adjuster here, to start looking at this as a full job?
First of all, Rick, you probably don't have a trained eye for hail, so you might have saw two obvious ones, but there's a lot more to look at. Sometimes the granules can be just pushed in and you don't have that black mark that everybody looks for. And that is actually hail damage. And the threshold on it is we take a 10 by 10 square on each slope, and we're looking for 7 to 10 hail hits in that 10 by 10 square. And that's exactly what the insurance companies look for.
Okay. And, you know, speaking of that trained eye, this kind of goes right into getting that roof work done, you know, having somebody come out there. What are some of the things that you advise, obviously, aside from just call Roof Ops, to make sure that you're looking for when you're kind of vetting and making sure that you're having somebody who knows what they're doing come out and look at your roof?
So a good roofing company, when they come out, what they'll be doing is they won't just look at your roof. They're going to look at all the vents. They're going to look for damage on the soft metals. We're going to look at your gutters. We're going to make sure they're flowing right. We're going to look for damage on those. window, the glaze beading around the windows gets broken a lot. We'll look at that. We'll look at siding. We'll look at stucco. We just do a full inspection of the whole house. It's not just the roof.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, when it comes to getting work done, right, and we talked about it a little bit in that first segment, but if you were to go out and, again, throw something in the Google machine and just look at the different types of product that are out there, 25-year, 35-year, 50-year warranty, all that sort of stuff. Really, what kind of warranties are there? And does it depend on the materials? What kind of warranties are out there from the labor standpoint? What are all the different, options where the company might be held more responsible than the homeowner, I guess is what I'm looking for.
Well, first off, there is no 20, 30, 40, 50-year shingle anymore. They got rid of that. It's all now called a limited lifetime warranty from the manufacturer. What that means is it's warranted against everything but wind and hail. And so...
the two things that'll destroy your roof.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's the big thing as far as the difference now. There is no such thing as... how many years. And there's a manufacturer warranty, which is limited lifetime. And then roof ops, we have a 2-year labor warranty on it, installation warranty. So if it's something that we did, we can come out, fix it within those 2 years or up to 2 years at no charge.
Yeah, and when it comes to that kind of idea of the fix it, when, you know, say we do have a hailstorm coming out, obviously you mentioned that kind of threshold, looking within that 10 by 10 square. Is there instances where it's better to just replace certain sections, or is it best to, like, kind of when you're dealing with a car and all-wheel drive system, just replace the whole roof like you'd have to replace all four tires?
It's not good because on a roofing system, it's one system. It's got the underlayment, it's got the shingles. So if you start tearing out a section to try to repair it, you can't do anything underneath for the underlayment because it's completely under the whole roof. So you can't repair shingles like you can a tire on a car.
See, I was all ready for Evan's "it depends" answer. Yeah. And he actually answered the question for us.
See?
It's amazing. Sometimes you can get a real answer.
That's why you have roofers do roofs and lawyers do law.
Yes. Yes, indeed. You know, one of those things that I know, especially in the last several years, that folks have sort of, I don't know, kind of put in as a little extra piece if they're trying to sell their home is a roof certification. Now, here's the question, because I'm a little skeptical all the time. I'm a good Gen Xer. I trust nothing, nothing of what I read, and less than half of what I see. So, a roof certification. I know folks will come out, get on your roof, walk around, get down, say thank you for the X dollars, here's your certification. What is it? And is it really worth anything other than I might be able to sell my house a little quicker?
Well, first off, roof ops will not write any certifications. We don't know who installed it. We don't know how they installed it. We don't know what they put in for underlayment. We don't know if they did a deck inspection, if they put it over the top of decking that needed replaced. There's just too many variables. So we'll do free inspections, and we're able to tell the sellers if they have damage or not. But we will not write roof certifications due to the liability process that's put back on roof ops.
And really, if somebody were out there to say, well, I've got this roof certification, but all of a sudden this started leaking, that then truly does come back on the company that certified it.
That is correct.
Yeah, definitely something that, you know, if I'm running the roofing company, Evan would probably advise me against doing.
Probably.
But it does depend.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're talking about roofs, and this is probably a little bit more of a, you know, question impacting maybe more me as buying the home brand new, is there a different lifespan for, say, that OG builder grade shingle that was initially put on there versus, you know, having somebody else come out and putting a new roof on, say, after a storm.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we kind of covered a little bit when we talked about variables in materials. What we call builder grade shingles mm-hmm. are not the kind of shingles that we use on re-roofs. We use a more sophisticated, upgraded shingle that will last a lot longer than a builder grade shingle on a new build.
So when you were saying that, you know, maybe 10 years, probably those of us with those builder grade, you know, kind of new build shingles, probably on that lower end of the spectrum.
You're going to be on the lower end, yes.
Right. And when it comes to that, if for some weird, crazy act of God reason, somebody has a 25-year-old roof, and 25 years ago they had T-lock shingles, they're going to have to make some changes, aren't they?
Yeah, T-lock shingles are no longer in existence. So, for instance, on a T-lock shingle, you can have one hail hit that roof and have one hit. There's nothing that can be done because they can't repair it, and we have to put a whole new roof on. So the insurance will pay for that, but where I go back to that is with a homeowner that has a T-lock, call your insurance company because more than likely you are not fully covered on that roof.
Yeah, and with that, and this is probably, you know, something homeowners need to have that conversation with their roofer and their insurance company, but we know really we have such a high prevalence of hail most summers here across Southern Colorado. Are there issues as far as you've seen, you know, where somebody's had to have a roof done maybe every hail season and just kind of have those repeat hits and constantly having to get a new roof on?
Yeah, we have. In fact, in 2018, we had that exact scenario where we had a big hailstorm come through Cheyenne Mountain down through Fountain, and it was big hail, so we had to replace the roofs because they were going to get leaks. We got them all done in about a month and a half. There was 130-some roofs, and 3 weeks later, that storm came, the same size hail came through that same path, and damaged them all again. So, yes, the homeowners did have two deductibles on their roof.
Ooh.
And on their cars because it damaged their cars twice as well. So,
now, when those storms are going on, right, and if we have seen somewhere, right, typically if you're in the house and you've got water coming through, there's more than likely some kind of massive damage right now. What are some of the best things? Because I see folks after hailstorms with, you know, tarps and tires and all that sort of stuff up on the roof all the time, what are some of those best things to help, I guess it's not really mitigate, but it's to help kind of hold down the fort, if you will, until that repair gets done?
The best thing is to call your roofer. Roof ops will come out. We will tarp it and do any temp repairs we can. We'll take photos, document everything, because then when the insurance comes out, because it's in their policy and the clause says you must prevent further damage from happening. So that's where we come in. We'll come out. We'll take care of the temp repairs. We'll document everything. And that's one thing that you want to call roof for. So documentation. I can't stress it enough. And that way when the adjuster comes out, they'll pay for those temp repairs on top of the new roof.
Awesome. Well, folks, we are up against that final break in today's show. When we come back, we will finish up talking with Chad Melko from Roof Ops, because I've got some solar questions, Chad, and we need answers. Folks, stick around. We will be right back.
Does stock market volatility have you wondering which way is up? Do the talking heads and doomsayers have you wondering if this really is the end? If you want straight answers from an advisor who isn't just trying to sell you something, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment today. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Well, folks, thanks for sticking with us through that break here on Money Matters presented by FRS Financial. Rick Stevens here in studio, as always, with Andrew Rogers. We've got Chad Melko from Roof Ops in with us today. And now, Chad, I do spend a little time believe it or not, on social media, I see some social media ads, Andrew, mm-hmm. that will pop up every once in a while about, well, this is what's going on in your area with solar and how you don't ever have to pay for anything.
Yeah, there's these new federal incentives that you may not know about for Colorado homeowners.
Yeah, all the fun stuff. But I'm going to go out on a limb here, Chad, and say those probably aren't roofers that are putting those ads up. That's kind of one of those solar companies, right? They're throwing it out on social media. You get the little postcard in the mail. You get the knock on the door, the phone ringing. When it comes to our roof, what are some of those things that we as homeowners need to understand about the solar side of things? Because it is fairly popular these days.
It is. And, you know, any new installation of solar panels can damage the existing shingles because they have to drill holes in the roof to screw in the solar panels. The biggest thing is it's best to contact a warranty center for your roof and also have one of us professionals come out to answer any of those questions before moving ahead with solar. And in the event of a storm, hailstorm, the solar company that installed those panels are responsible for removing, storing, and reinstalling those when we finish that roof and the inspection has passed final.
So what you're telling me is if I had solar panels on my house and we got a hailstorm, I shouldn't be the one getting up there and taking those off and putting them back on.
You will void the warranty on the roof and the solar panels.
And more importantly, roof ops will not come out, take those solar panels off, and deal with that as well.
Yeah, we are not allowed to do that because we, as a company, can also void the warranty for the homeowner of whoever installed those solar panels. So we always contact the solar panel company. We coordinate with them when we're going to be doing the roof. They'll come out. They'll take them off. They'll store them. Once the final inspection takes place from El Paso County, then we can call the solar company and say we're good to go. You can put them back on.
And also, when it comes to those solar panels, we know that they're not exactly flush and flat on the roof as well. There's that little bit of gap. Is there other things to be concerned of, especially knowing, you know, the potential for moisture, you know, snow, things like that, kind of having a little bit more kind of hold in more kind of stable area on the roof than, say, other parts where you'd get more normal melting?
Well, and that's really the solar company coming out. They know where it's best to put them. They take care of that. And all we want to make sure they do is silicone and seal any bolt, any screw, any kind of bracket on that roof.
So as a guy with a, I don't want to say a non-normal roof, because it's a non-normal roof where I grew up. But out here, there are a lot of folks with tile roofs. As a guy with a tile roof, Can solar even go on that?
That's a good question. I don't know that answer.
All right. I would guess not, because I would think you got to damage the tiles. But, you know, again, I'm not a solar guy.
Yeah. Sounds like you're not interested in becoming a solar guy.
No. Not at all out there either. I have exactly zero interest in doing that. You know, one of those questions that oftentimes comes to mind, and you alluded to it a little bit earlier, is we've got a hailstorm. I've called it in. I've put in my claim through my insurance. Am I the one who needs to meet the adjuster out there?
No, and I prefer that you, as the homeowner, call the roofer first to come out before you make a claim, just in case. You're just outside of the hail. Now you've made a claim, and if there's no hail damage, you're still going to get the ding on your report, and it's going to be denied. So have a roofer come out, take a look at it, make sure there's enough damage for a claim. And then what we do is, as a project sales manager, what I do is I come out and I meet with the adjuster. The homeowner tells me what day, what time. We coordinate all that. I meet with the adjuster. We walk the whole house. And that way they don't miss anything, and I can show them stuff if they can't see what's going on, because I've already been out there. So it's best to have someone out there with the adjuster.
Yeah, and with that in mind, you know, having that, you know, somebody out there, really kind of expand on that, because how much of a roofing expert are these adjusters, and is that really putting yourself in peril if you are just, say, calling Jake from State Farm, he sends his guy out there, and you don't have an actual expert? Is there a lot that could get missed, and maybe they say, oh, no, you're fine, but really, there's some significant damage that needs to get done?
Yeah, and that's right, and I've ran into a lot of that where the homeowner has called the adjuster. They've been out before I was even out or called to be out. And when I start walking the house and I see their report, I'm like, wow, they missed your screens. They missed your window beading. You got some siding damage. So not all adjusters are created equal as well. Some are new. They're learning. So, yes, it's best to have the roofer out there to let them know everything.
And I know, because I have heard some of these, and I always like to ask about some of the stories that you have seen where you have been called out before the adjuster, and there may not have been any actual storm-type damage, but it was meant to look like it. Do you have any of those stories where you've seen some of that out there? Because I love stories like that.
Well, let me just put it this way. I know what hail looks like, and I know what human hail looks like.
So what you're saying is there's a difference between what happens when a hailstone hits and what happens when the head of a hammer hits.
Absolutely.
Well, I wasn't thinking about doing it myself.
Okay. All right.
I just like the stories. I like the stories.
Sure.
Now, Chad, we've got about half of this last segment here left. Are there any things we haven't gotten the opportunity to cover yet that you say, you know what? Homeowners, you really need to know A, B, C, D about your roof, about the roofing process, about all of these different pieces. Because you guys could just rip one off and put one back on in like a day, right?
Yeah, it depends on the size and everything. But one big thing is, meet with your insurance agent to review your policy and roof coverage. That's number one. Just to make sure that when a storm does happen and you do have damage, that you're not in a position where all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, I don't have this covered on my policy. Now I got to come out another several thousand dollars. So that's one main important thing, is just to make sure and ask what your deductibles are for wind and hail, because a lot of times people look at their policy and they go, oh, I got a $1,000 deductible. Great. But what they're not reading is that's for perils. That's for, like, if something happens inside the house. And then on another page, it says roof and wind and hail deductible, 1% or 5,000 versus 1,000. So that's one thing, is just make sure you meet with your agent and find out if you have an RCV policy, ACV policy, and make those changes before it happens.
Yeah, and Chad, you know, you've mentioned a couple times as far as when you're out there looking at storm damage, things like that you're not just looking at the roof itself, but you're, you know, keeping an eye on those window beads, the, you know, potential for siding damage. If it is a major catastrophic event, is it best to maybe just start with one company, like say you as a roofer, kind of quarterbacking everything else and helping to coordinate with, you know, getting window siding guy, or is it on the homeowner then to, once you call you and you bring it up, then call all the other trades out to kind of look at their areas of expertise?
Well, we are a company that does roof and gutters and siding. The thing is, with windows and everything, we have people at our disposal that we know, that we trust, and we recommend and refer them to the homeowner to give them a call.
Okay.
To come out, because they have to give their separate estimate for the insurance company.
So another quick question here, and then we'll wrap up in just a little bit. But if I'm making, if I just want to make an upgrade to my roof, let's say that I want to go from that typical three-tab asphalt shingle, maybe to one of those polymers that look like the shake, mm-hmm. or even something, going from an asphalt shingle all the way up to a tile, are there certain things that need to be done to my roof overall? Because I've carried the asphalt shingles, and I've carried tile, and the tile's just a bit heavier.
Yeah, so anytime that you're upgrading from shingle, polymer, plastic to a tile, we actually have to have an engineer come out, make sure your trusses can handle the weight was your house built for that or not? You're okay if you have a tile roof and you go back with tile, but to upgrade to a tile from something else like shingles or whatever, definitely have to have an engineer out.
All right. Now, is that a call you make? Is that a call I have to make as the homeowner? Are there folks out there where you say, hey, these guys know what they're talking about from the engineer side? How does that whole thing kind of play out?
Yeah, we would give you a recommendation of a couple, three good engineers that we've had for you to call and have them come out and inspect your trusses and everything.
Awesome. And I know that you guys do more than just the residential roofs. I know you guys work on commercial as well. Sort of the last question before we wrap up here. In that commercial world, I know a lot of buildings have a flat roof. I know flat roofs theoretically get water going off of them, but I don't know one yet that doesn't pool up somewhere. What are some of the big things that if we've got commercial owners, they need to be aware of with their commercial roof that a typical residential owner doesn't need to think about?
Well, as far as commercial goes, it's just a whole different roofing system. We have TPO, EPDM, rubberized roofs out there. When we go out and check for those, that one thing we look for is to make sure if it's a fully adhered roof that it's not coming away from the parapet walls. We got to make sure that it's sloped properly, so it's going down into the scuppers as what we'd call a gutter on a homeowner's house. That's two of the biggest things are the seals and making sure that there is no damage from cracking or any kind of thing like that. Something different in shingles is you don't just look for hail. You got to look for a lot of different things because there's a lot more penetrations on a commercial roof than there is on
awesome.
A homeowner's roof.
Awesome. Well, Chad, if folks want to have you guys come out, want to have you do that inspection, or, you know, if we get hail sometime in the next couple weeks and they need to call somebody, how do they get a hold of you guys over at Roof Ops?
Well, the best way is you can call or text 720-425-2405. That's me. That's Chad. Or Stephanie at 719-822-3840. Or you can email us, chad@roofopsopsco.com. chad@roofopsco.com or stephanie@roofopsco.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And that's good all the way up and down the Front Range, right?
That's good in the whole state of Colorado.
Awesome.
What about Iowa?
And Iowa.
All right. Awesome. Well, Chad, thank you for joining us today, for giving us a little look under the hood, if you will, at our roofs, different things that we as the homeowner need to be aware of, need to be thinking about, especially as we are headed here into hail season. Well, folks, that is all the time we have for this week on Money Matters. We will be back again next week continuing to talk about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.